Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and I'm happy to welcome back to WNYC Steve Hindy. You may not recognize that name, but you probably recognize the man's work. In fact, you probably pointed at his work and said over the noise of the crowd, yeah, two of those, Penn and Ale or Chocolate Stout. Do you know him now? Steve Hindy is, of course, co-founder of Brooklyn Brewery and the author of the new book, The Craft Beer Revolution, How a Band of Microbreweries is Transforming the World's Favorite Drink. Steve Hindy, good to talk to you again.
Thank you, Brian. Great to be here.
And listeners, if there's anything you want to say or ask about microbrews, 212-433-9692. And I want to go back to the beginning because there's so much great history in the book, and you trace the start of microbrewing in the U.S. to the start of Anchor Brewing Company in San Francisco in the 60s. What do you see as the origin moment here in New York?
In New York, I think the most prominent pioneer was Matthew Reisch, who started New Amsterdam Brewery in about 1982. Also up in Albany, there was Bill Newman with Newman's Albany Amber Beer, started about the same time. And Matthew really was way ahead of even the guys out west with New Amsterdam. He started out contract brewing in upstate New York, at the Matt Brewery in Utica, trucking the beer down to New York and distributing it here. And he couldn't wait to build a brewery in New York City, which he did. It opened about 1985, I think, on the Lower West Side, 11th Avenue and 26th Street. Beautiful brewery, 300-seat restaurant. I was green with envy. But it was not in a great location. That neighborhood was known more for ladies of the night than for nightlife, I'm afraid.
Huh. And you have a chapter called The Class of 88, which is the year that you and Tom Potter started Brooklyn Brewery. Why did it take that long for microbrewing to start in New York, even if you consider 82 the beginning, after it happened in California in 1965?
Well, New York was a pretty tough town for microbreweries. We started in 88. Actually, Matthew's brewery on the west side went out of business in short order. He was way ahead of the wave that would support craft breweries. We started in 88, and during our first 15 years, there were probably about 30 startups in metro New York that failed. Mostly because of difficulty of getting the beer distributed.
So does something change technologically or in terms of distribution to help it actually take root here, or did tastes just change?
Well, tastes changed, and really the consumer, the beer drinker, has driven this craft beer revolution because apart from Sam Adams, none of the other breweries do big mass market advertising. So it's a word of mouth kind of growth that has built this industry. And there are a couple of big things that happened in the last 10 years that have been very important. Number one, the big distributors, primarily Anheuser-Busch distributors, after all, they sell half the beer in the whole country.
Wow.
Previously, they were pretty much exclusive Anheuser-Busch products, but they've opened up to craft beer because they've seen the growth of craft beer. And that has made distribution much more friendly toward craft brewers. The other thing is the internet. Social media has really kind of splintered the media, as you know, and enabled small breweries to get their message out very effectively to everyone they want to reach.
How, you mentioned Sam Adams, which I didn't even realize would be categorized as a microbrew. I just think of it as a national brand. So how micro are microbrews at this point? What actually makes something a microbrew?
Well, actually, the term microbrewery we don't use much anymore. A microbrewery is a brewery under 15,000 barrels of production a year. We use the term craft brewery. And it's a term that was developed by our trade association to kind of define the population of brewers that we represent as the Brewers Association. So you have to be small, And we define small as under 6 million barrels. You have to be independent, not controlled by a big brewery or a big non-craft brewing company. And you have to make traditional and innovative beer, which is a little bit subjective.
And do consumers have a right to know? Do they have a way to know that, say, Shock Top is owned by Miller or Goose Island is made by Anheuser-Busch?
Well, no, but there is no way to – actually, there's an app now, I understand, that you can put in the name of the beer and it will tell you who owns the beer. But, you know, craft beer consumers, craft beer drinkers are very interested in what's in their bottle and who makes it. So I think they're seeking out, you know, the stories behind all these beers these days.
Steve Hindy, founder of the Brooklyn Brewery, author of a new book, The Craft Beer Revolution, How a Band of Microbreweries is Transforming the World's Favorite Drink. If you want to get in on this, folks, with a comment or a question, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Have you been in Williamsburg since you started Brooklyn Brewery?
Actually, our first warehouse was in Bushwick, in an old brewery building, the Otto Huber Brewery, which operated before Prohibition. You know, in 1898, when Brooklyn became part of New York City, there were 45 breweries in Brooklyn. It was a major brewing center. So we were in one of those old buildings way back then. And it was actually kind of a scary neighborhood. Truck drivers would not come in there after dark. It was kind of a high-crime area. Of course, now Roberta's and, you know, there's a whole scene over there right near where we started back in the 1987, 88.
And so do you have a take on the changes in Williamsburg since you arrived? Obviously, there are probably a million times more bars to carry your beer. But what do you make of the gentrification process that goes with it?
Well, you know, I think it's a good thing for Brooklyn. There are a lot more jobs now in North Brooklyn than there were when we came there 25 years ago. And, you know, the waterfront has been developed. That was pretty much just a ruin of old buildings and nothing productive about it. So I think it's a good thing. It has been disruptive, of course, but you might even see it as kind of a reversal of the white flight that happened back in the 50s and 60s.
In fact, I wonder if you have any thoughts on the rise of Brooklyn everything. You once almost had, you know, a corner on the market of something branded Brooklyn right in the name. Now there are Brooklyn pickles, Brooklyn pretzels. You know, there's a spot around the corner from the WNYC studios here that bills itself as a Brooklyn-themed bar, a cool thing in Manhattan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's really remarkable because when I decided to name the brewery Brooklyn back in the 80s, a lot of people looked at me and said, "Are you kidding? Brooklyn? What kind of image is that for a consumer product?" And I said, "Well, you know, I believe in Brooklyn. I think it's an amazing place. It's mentioned in the media, in books, in movies. You know, 1 out of 7 people in America have roots in Brooklyn. Waves of immigrants have come through Brooklyn. And it's funny, you know, probably even today, 2/3 of the people in Brooklyn, their goal is to get out of Brooklyn. But once they leave, they will become Brooklyn nationalists. It's a very unique place, and I love it, and no regrets about naming the beer Brooklyn.
Steve in Oakland, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
Hey. I'm a big fan of McSorley's Brewery down on 7th Street in Bowery, but I don't know much about them. I was wondering if you know anything about their history.
Yeah, Steve. McSorley's, I think, a couple of hundred years ago did actually have a connection with a local brewery in New York City. But today their beer is actually made by Pabst. So they have a light lager beer and a dark lager beer. And it comes from a big brewery, somewhere down south.
Lisa in Queens, you're on WNYC with Steve Hindy from Brooklyn Brewery. Hi.
Hi. Hi, guys. Hi, Brian. I, too, love your show. It's awesome. I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
Hi, Steve Hindy.
Hi.
My name is actually Lisa Castagna, and my husband and I, mostly my husband, has opened a nano brewery in Queens called Bridge and Tunnel Brewery. And I just want to say that Brooklyn Beer has just, like, kicked down the door for craft brewing. And now even in Queens, which is kind of the forgotten borough, all of a sudden in the past 2 years, we've had, like, an explosion of nothing to, like, seven nano breweries. And it's really just changing the face of the city almost. And
now, what's the difference between a microbrewery and a nano brewery?
Nano brewery, like the word nano, is super, super, super small. And we are probably the smallest of them all. We only do 9 kegs per batch.
So you're like bathtub small, practically.
We're not in the bathtub, but not too far.
Lisa, thank you. Steve?
Yeah. Yeah,
Lisa, I've heard about your brewery. I've heard you're making great beer. And, yeah, you're right. There's really been a surge of breweries in Queens. Actually, I understand there's going to be a couple of breweries opening in Staten Island shortly.
Yeah.
And that will mean that there are breweries once again in all five boroughs of New York City.
That's true. We're bringing back
history. Yes.
The only thing that I have to say for, I know you guys started out small when it was possible, but I have to say now with like real estate and there's so many roadblocks for something so small like us to even grow. And it's actually been a frustration because now all these really crummy neighborhoods, like when I moved to Long Island City initially, we also had Ladies of the Evening. And now, you know, my kids go to one of the best schools there. So it changes. Our neighborhoods have totally been changing, but for sure.
Lisa, roadblocks like city bureaucracy?
Yeah, I would say that's one. And pricing and, you know, there's a lot of, like, you have to have the right zoning. And if you don't have the right zoning, you have to change the zoning and hire architects. And, you know, for us, we're small. We're just mom and pop. And, you know, we don't have millions of dollars to change the world, but we'd like to.
Lisa, thank you. And really a lot of your book is about this process. And you've become an outspoken member of the business community. Some people may know the column you write for Cranes.
Yes.
So any thoughts about the de Blasio administration's small business agenda so far?
Well, I'm confident that Mayor de Blasio understands the importance of companies like Brooklyn Brewery and like Lisa's Bridge and Tunnel. Certainly, Governor Cuomo has embraced craft brewing in New York State and recognized that craft brewing and craft distilling and winemaking is a key part of the economy of the entire state, not just the jobs that we create at our breweries and facilities, but actually the tourism dollars that accrue to this. You know, when we opened our doors in Williamsburg in 1996, you couldn't pay on Friday night. I could hit golf balls in the tasting room. You know, no one was showing up. Now we get 3,000 to 4,000 people on the weekends, about half of them foreign tourists, and we do tours during the week as well. So, you know, clearly the brewery has been a great benefit, I think, to North Brooklyn in stimulating business and activity.
All right, let's wrap up with a microbrewery lightning round. Ready for this? Short questions, short answers. I think you call this a flight in the alcohol business. Favorite Brooklyn brewery beer ever?
Right now at home, I have on tap Hammarby Syndrome. It's a beer dedicated to the neighborhood in Stockholm where we just opened a brewery.
Favorite non-Brooklyn brewery beer?
You know, I'm a big fan of Deschutes Brewery out in Bend, Oregon. They make a porter called Black Butte Porter, which every chance I get, I have a glass of that.
Favorite cocktail?
Favorite cocktail, you know, I have to say during the winter, my wife and I sneak a Manhattan every now and then made with rye with a little bit of cherry juice in it. And summers, I like gin and tonic with gin from New York Distilling Company.
The Brooklyn Brewery co-founder drinks Manhattans. You're going to have to invent a mixed drink called the Brooklyn. Favorite bar in New York City?
Oh, my God. You know, how can I pick that? I think right around the corner here from WNYC is the Ear Inn, which is a very cool, very old school New York pub. And I just love places like that. I'm thrilled to have my beer in places like that.
Favorite bar outside New York City?
Oh, well, you know, tonight I'm flying to Stockholm to do some book events there. And there's a bar there called Oliver Twist that is a craft beer bar, and it's been at the forefront of the craft beer revolution in Sweden.
Do you sip out of the bottle, or do you always pour it into a pint glass?
It depends on the occasion, but, you know, I've been known to sip out of the bottle quite often.
Have you ever chugged a beer?
Yes, I think when I was a freshman in college.
And last one, how do you avoid hangovers?
I don't.
And with that candid response, we leave it with the co-founder of the Brooklyn Brewery, Steve Hindy. His new book is The Craft Beer Revolution, How a Band of Microbreweries is Transforming the World's Favorite Drink. So much fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. We're sustaining members, by the way.
Glad to hear it. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, your calls with that moment from the commencement speech at your graduation that you actually remember. Stay with us.